In 2007, I reluctantly visited 4chan's infamous / B board on my brother's recommendation. After 10 minutes of scrolling through anonymous posts filled with porn, gore, and offensive humor, I needed both a break and a shower. When I asked my thoughtful brother about the appeal, he explained, "Trolls disrupt stupid conversations, following two rules. Nothing should be taken seriously, and if it exists, there is porn of it. Their motivation? Lulz, amusement derived from others' anger, the only reason to do anything." This bizarre introduction sparked what became an ethnographic odyssey spanning years of research into online trolling culture. What emerged was a disturbing revelation. Trolling behaviors aren't aberrations, but distorted reflections of mainstream cultural values. Like the 1980s anti-drug PSA where a son tells his father, "I learned it by watching you," trolls simply push existing cultural logics to their extreme conclusions. Their actions hold up a funhouse mirror to society, exaggerating features we'd rather not acknowledge about ourselves. Trolling evolved from accusation, "You're trolling," to proud identity, "I am a troll," primarily through 4chan, founded in 2003 by 15-year-old Christopher Moot Poole. While trolling existed in 1990s Usenet groups and AOL chat rooms, 4chan became the incubator where this behavior developed a coherent cultural identity. Early internet scholars like Judith Donath, 1998, viewed trolls as malicious deceivers, breeding paranoia, while Lincoln Dahlberg argued for their ejection from online spaces, both framing trolls as digital matter out of place, threatening cyberspace's utopian vision. Trolls maintain a moral firewall between online and offline personas, insisting their troll selves operate under different rules. They paradoxically demonstrate keen empathy in identifying targets' vulnerabilities while remaining emotionally detached, understanding which issues provoke strong reactions, but weaponizing this awareness. Anonymous transformed from the internet hate machine to becoming synonymous with hacktivism. A tension emerged between lulz fags, motivated by chaos and humor, and cause fags, moral fags, targeting perceived injustices. This division first appeared during Project Chanology against Scientology in 2009, when some worried political objectives would fundamentally change Anonymous's nature. At trolling culture's core lies lulz, a corruption of LOL, celebrating victims' anguish and serving as universal justification. "I did it for the lulz." Unlike traditional humor, lulz functions as both punishment and reward, social cohesion and constraint, making no distinction between friend and foe. Lulz operates through three qualities: fetishism, generativity, and magnetism. Fetishism allows trolls to detach emotionally, seeing only exploitable details while ignoring human suffering. When 7th grader Mitchell Henderson committed suicide in 2006, trolls fixated on a memorial post calling him a hero and his lost iPod, leading them to hack his MySpace, dox his parents, and photograph an iPod at his grave. Generativity describes how lulz build community through shared references. When 11-year-old Jesse Slaughter posted a defiant video, trolls harassed her mercilessly. Her father's angry intervention, declaring trolls had done goofed and consequences will never be the same, created instant memes, strengthening subcultural bonds. Magnetism explains how lulz attract attention, unite anonymous participants, and self-replicate. The Battletoads prank calls to GameStop stores exemplify this. Trolls would call about a non-existent sequel, competing to keep employees on the line and provoke rage. Operation Payback, 2010, and support for WikiLeaks widened the gulf between anonymous factions. Their backing of Arab uprisings further defined their political identity. By 2011, Big A Anonymous, activists, and Little A Anonymous, trolls, shared only a name. Lulzsec emerged with trollish aesthetics, but hacktivist tactics targeting corporations instead of individuals. When Occupy Wall Street began, media focused on protesters wearing Guy Fawkes masks, connecting Anonymous to the movement. The mask evolved from symbolizing failure to lulls to becoming an emblem of social justice. Mainstream media outlets inadvertently popularize the trolling spaces they condemn, creating a feedback loop where each amplifies the other. The Gencom hoax demonstrates this. User Pickwick posted fake images of getting high on fermented human waste. Despite later admitting he used common household ingredients, news outlets still warned parents about this non-existent trend. When Fox News aired its report on Anonymous in 2007, labeling them hackers on steroids and an internet hate machine, it actually provided Anonymous with both a branding strategy and behavioral blueprint that accelerated their growth. In early 2010, RIP trolling flourished on Facebook memorial pages. The platform transformed anonymous disruption into a social activity with established norms and persistent identities. Trolls particularly enjoyed creating fake memorial pages, growing membership, then ambushing mourners with offensive content, or flipping pages from tributes to outrageous statements. RIP trolls disproportionately targeted dead white teenagers, reflecting mainstream media's own biases. Trolls So Very Ruthless highlighted this by creating a comparative page noting that Jalesa Reynolds, an African-American student who disappeared the same week as widely covered Chelsea King, received minimal media attention. Trolling behaviors mirror and expose problematic aspects of mainstream culture rather than opposing it. Drawing on Christy Davies' work, trolling humor connects to mass mediation and emotional distance. Davies observed that the first major disaster joke cycle followed Kennedy's assassination and coincided with television's rise, creating effects that undermined empathy and enabled emotional detachment. Trolling exemplifies androcentrism, the naturalized male-focused worldview Bourdieu describes as continuous, silent, invisible injunctions. Trolls replicate what Janice Moulton calls the adversary method of Western philosophy, privileging cool rationality, male-gendered, while delegitimizing emotionality, female-gendered. They provoke emotional responses, then mock these feminized reactions as weakness, priding themselves on knowing how to rhetoric. Phillips connects trolling to Western culture's normalized drive for discovery and progress. Early internet users were described as digital homesteaders, staking claims in cyberspace. Trolls embody this expansionist ideology's dark side, viewing the internet as their personal playground free from constraints. Through raids and platform repurposing, trolls expose the violence and exploitation inherent in progress narratives typically celebrated in American culture. Trolling has become so broadly applied that it's nearly meaningless in mainstream discourse. If lawmakers want to combat racist, misogynist, and homophobic trolling, they should first address the same issues in mainstream media and politics. Politicians' outrageous claims and news outlets promoting divisive content directly inspire trolls who mimic these behaviors. Media outlets incentivize trolling by providing platforms that validate such behavior while generating page views and advertising revenue. This creates a symbiotic relationship between trolls and media companies that ensures aggressive trolling will continue as long as it remains profitable. The real challenge is moving beyond binary thinking that separates reasonable users from cruel trolls. Trolls ultimately replicate behaviors celebrated elsewhere, amplifying existing cultural ugliness rather than creating it. They are products of mainstream society, however uncomfortable this connection may be. By holding up a distorted mirror to society, trolls force us to confront darker aspects of our shared values, the exploitation, callousness, and power imbalances often unacknowledged in mainstream discourse. The issue isn't just our inability to have nice things, it's questioning what values we truly want to uphold.